Praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. We just bless you this morning. Hallelujah. Glory. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost here just for a minute. Praise God. Bro bandalenense mon pramana, brede seo, clandam bandaledechti, frima hansateist, bruca babasia, tebre enkitebochi. You know, if they gathered in the houses in the early church, they'd pray in the Holy Ghost. They'd speak in other tongues. Senda andololo moshte prebe, sikalamangre deci framanast, vistorama, glende, glonci ke pahaleve eci, si promo, brege, zite promo, ceci fa amba and setegele men.
You know, I'm reminded of when Brother Mark mentioned they went on a missions trip, and this is the one that Alan and Melissa went on with them when they finished graduated from Karis, and they were walking the streets, and they saw a little Asian man up on like a second level in the streets, and they were drawn to him. One of the ladies was drawn to him, and I don't know all the particulars because I've forgotten some, but all I know is they bid him to come down. He come down, gave his life to Jesus, got baptized in the Holy Ghost, but when he was baptized in the Holy Ghost, he knew no English. And he started speaking in tongues, but he was speaking in perfect English. And what he said was, he said, when he was speaking in tongues, of course, everybody was sitting there in English heard what he was saying. He said, the Lord has opened doors that no man can shut, and has shut doors that no man can open. See, Jesus, the door, had just opened. He just found the doorway into eternal life. And yet, in tongues, he was magnifying God and declaring what had just took place in his life. Because the door himself had made the way for him to enter in. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Oh, clanky saprama nushte tefreba. Lord, we pray kideban. Silo to ramaste tepala veheshishikiest. Oh, gledi. Primanest. Brenki stombra andala duce elebaba da vista kalaniest. Bre eveste brono mosi plandandale deest. Oh, we thank you this morning. Yeah. Combadis. Te prebedi vosumbre de glandan si proma. Kedeban si frede este saturaba. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I'm 1 minute out. Okay, glory to God. We don't want to flip anybody out, but we're not ashamed, are we? We go Facebook Live and they turn it to somebody tune in. All of a sudden, we're in tongues. Praise God. They go, wait a minute, you know. Hallelujah. That's okay. That's okay. We may get a couple of kibachis there, Reed. That's what we're talking about, praise God, early. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It's okay. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I'm reminded, thank God, you know, music and worship, I'm talking about music, it's part of the helps ministry. In 1 Corinthians 12, the Bible talks about God said in the church, he listed things. One of the things he mentions is helps. Praise and worship is such a help. And, of course, we get to minister to the Lord. But you got to understand something, glory to God. You know, in the early church, and even, I mean, we've always had musical instruments. Even the psalmist said, you know, praise him with high-sounding cymbals and you know, all the instruments you can praise him on and worship him. Let everything that hath breath praise him. But you know, Jesus and them was up in the upper room. They didn't have a keyboard. They didn't have a set of drums. They didn't have a trumpet. They were taking communion, and then they sang a hymn. They began to sing. Who are they singing to? Themselves? No, they were singing to God. What a blessing. That's why you can magnify God. Thank God for music. Thank God for the things we have. And it's of the Lord, and he's given these things to us, richly to enjoy, all things. But I'm telling you can lift your voice. You can magnify God from your spirit, man. You can lift your hands. You can lift up holy hands, without wrath and doubting, and declare that he's Lord. You can declare his lordship over your life at any given time. Not just the initial experience of the new birth, But you can be in any given situation and you can say out of your mouth, you can believe in your heart and say out of your mouth, I confess the lordship of Jesus Christ over this situation in my life, even over my body. And I believe because he was raised from the dead, the very all of hell's authority and power could not hold him there. So if the devil gave everything he had, all that he could muster up with all of his authority and power to keep him in bondage, in prison, the scripture says. If he couldn't hold him there, he can't hold him now. Not in your life, not in your heart, not out of your mouth. If he was going to be held and kept back, it had been then. No, but he was raised from the dead. And we believe through his resurrection, we've been begotten into a living and a lively hope. We have an expectation of good. Hallelujah. And we acknowledge his lordship over our lives. Amen. Glory to God. We'll worship the Lord in our giving. Brother, can I have an envelope, please, sir? If you need an envelope, I do need an envelope. Just raise your hand. He'll get one to you. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. We want to welcome those of you online on Facebook Live with us this morning. We're worshiping the Lord. Thank you for joining in with us, all of our family, friends, and those of you who may be coming across us for the very first time. We welcome you. Hallelujah. We believe you're in the right place at the right time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What an honor. What an honor it is to honor him with our substance and to give. This right here, I like what Sean has said at times. You know what this is? This is a thank you note. From your heart, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we were singing a while ago about his loving kindness and that we know it well. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, he said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we should know it well. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, like I said earlier, he was the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And yet he came and was born of a woman, on purpose became a man. Oh, hallelujah. And he came and laid everything aside. And then at the cross he became poor, so that all of us, you and I, through his poverty, through the cross, could be made rich. Rich means you have a full supply. You have an inheritance. Oh, glory to God. He's left us an inheritance. He died for us. Left us his will, his inheritance. That's why Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus that we would have revelation. The spirit of wisdom and revelation. The eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. That we'd not only know the hope of his calling, but we would know. I know it well that we would know what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance for all the saints. Oh, glory to God. I'm telling you right now, I am purposing in my heart, Lord, help me to grasp and see and have greater revelation of all the bounty, of all the supply, your heart, how much you want to bless us. In the Old Covenant, in the 35th Psalm, you know what it says? It says we should shout. And we should continually say, we should shout and bless God and magnify God and continually say, let the Lord be magnified who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. How much more? Jesus said in the upper room, he said, I no longer call you servants. That doesn't mean we can't serve him and honor him. But listen, we don't step this thing up a notch or two. I no longer call you a servant. I call you my friend. You know, Abraham was called the friend of God. Do you know that if you be Christ, you're Abraham's seed? The scripture tells us we are the children of Abraham. Yeah, we're the children of God, but we come out of that promise, out of that covenant. Oh, glory to God. You know, God blessed Abraham in every way spiritually and naturally. That's why John wrote to the church in his letter and he said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." Lord, help me to see that in a way, not selfishly, not having my focus on the wrong thing, but help me, Lord, to see and have greater understanding and revelation of what you died and paid for to give us. He did become poor so that we could be made rich. Just like he became sin so that we could be made righteous. Just like by his stripes, he took upon himself so that we could receive healing. Amen. Thank you, Father, for these gifts. Thank you for your bounty. Thank you for your loving kindness and tender mercies. We honor you today. We sow this seed out of gratefulness and gratitude. And we also thank you that you promised us that your grace would be upon it and it would abound toward us, causing us to have all sufficiency. You even said you would multiply the seed that we sow and what we give. Hallelujah. And you would increase the fruits of our righteousness. We thank you for these things today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Here you go. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, praise God. Let's get into some things this morning. Okay. Amen. Let's go to the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. We're going to pick back up in our series we've been teaching on here for weeks now on Sunday mornings, called The Spirit Within and the Spirit Upon. The Spirit Within and the Spirit Upon. Hallelujah. Now, you believe in God with me? You hooking up with me this morning? Amen. I'm believing God for utterance. I thank God he gives me utterance. I thank God that I speak as the oracles of God. I thank God he makes my tongue as the pen of a ready writer. Oh, glory to God, that I'll speak as I ought to speak. And I believe that the spirit of wisdom and revelation, not only the spirit of wisdom and revelation, but thank God for impartation. Things being imparted. Divine grace deposits from heaven this morning into your heart, into my heart. Hallelujah. John, the 14th chapter, let's look here at the 16th verse. Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples, and he said this. He said, you know, he was leaving. He was going away, going to be temporarily separated from them. And he said, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you for 3 months. No, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." We noticed that. Praise God. Now over in Acts chapter 1, Jesus also, it was quoted what Jesus said. He said, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me," he went on to say. So we see two phrases here, or two different types of wordings concerning the Holy Spirit. He referred to the Holy Spirit that would come to them. He would pray, the Father would send it, and not only would he dwell with them, but he would be in them. He also said that the Spirit of God would come upon them. Now, we talked about this because the reason I say this is because he appeared to his disciples the evening after his resurrection. You remember, he saw Mary first at the tomb. She said, "You can't touch me. I've not yet ascended to my Father, your Father." And yet later in the evening, he let people touch him. Why? Because we know that he went into the Holy of Holies, not made with human hands. And he accomplished and he obtained eternal redemption for us. He sanctified us through his body and he perfected us forever through his blood and by his blood. And it speaks better things than that of Abel. It speaks mercy and grace and forgiveness 24/7, 365. Gives us complete access with the Father. The middle wall of partition has been removed. The thing that will cause man to come short of God's glory called sin, he took care of. Now, we should never, ever entertain the thought that we just all sin and we come short of God's glory. That's been dealt with. Glory to God. Then he came back and breathed on them in the upper room and said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." Breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." Well, they did. That's when they were born again. Then he commissioned them. He said, "Now listen, I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father until you be endued with power that will come upon you from on high." We talked about that, right? Let's go back to John chapter 4. And the reason I say these things is because it helps us be so mindful. You know, things get stirred up in you when you're put in remembrance of these things. That's what Peter said to his letter to the church. He said, "As long as I'm in this tabernacle, this earth suit," he said, "I will not be negligent, but I will stir you up and put you in remembrance, even though you know these things." So one way that you are stirred in your spirit, man, in your heart, is by being put in remembrance. That's not the only way, but it's a major way. So when we talk about these things, even though we know these things, it stirs it up in us. It helps us to be more conscious and aware of it. And in these last days, I'm telling you, we need to be more mindful and more conscious of the one who lives on the inside of us. And we need to be listening to him and to be led by him. Because there's a lot of things being said outside. There's many voices, lots of opinions. But see, you're not led by people's opinions. You're not led by intimidation. You're not led by pressure. You're led by the Spirit of God. Okay? We've talked about these things. But look here in John chapter 4. Let's pick it up in verse 13. This is the situation where Jesus was ministering to the woman at the well. Jesus answered and said unto her, verse 13, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Now we know this is referring to the new birth. Later on in the 7th chapter, we'll not go there for time's sake because I want to get into some other things. We see that Jesus stood and cried on that great day of the feast. You remember he said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And as the scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which was not yet given," because Jesus had not been yet glorified. There's a difference between a river and a well. They have two different functions. And we've covered all of these in our previous services. And those of you who are maybe watching, we encourage you, if you haven't seen the other services, go on our website. Or we have a link there on our Facebook Live page. You can go, and even on the Facebook page, you can go back and watch the services. Glory to God. Be a blessing to you. But I want to say something here in the 4th chapter where Jesus said, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But the water that I'll give you, that'll be in you a well," he said, "you'll never thirst." Do you know the Lord knows we need water? I'm talking about natural water. He's the one who gives us water. Jesus said, "Man cannot live by bread alone." Matthew chapter 4. He knows we need natural bread. He knows we need water because we're in this physical realm. But here's the thing about this. I want to draw your attention to this morning. Thank God for the natural things he gives us. Like I said earlier, I think I mentioned, he gives us all things richly to enjoy here. But natural things, the natural side of life, is not what truly satisfies a person, even though we get to enjoy these things. And even though the Lord has given us these things so we can operate and live and do what we need to do down here. But it does not quench your thirst. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus where he said, "A man's life does not consist of the things which he possesses." Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire, things, plural, when you pray, believe you receive them. God's not opposed to us having things. Like I said, he gives us all things richly to enjoy. But the natural side of life does not quench the thirst. Just like this woman here, she was trying to find love in all the wrong places. She was trying to scratch an itch that could not be scratched. She was looking for something through natural means and natural relationships with people, especially men, and only he could fulfill that. The Lord years ago told me, when I counsel with people that are getting married, to use this passage of Scripture and minister this to them. Because as much as a husband and a wife minister to one another, help each other, supply each other in certain ways, you can never, never, ever look to that person for your total and complete happiness and well-being. If you do, you will be disappointed. Now listen, there's things that they do. Hallelujah. What is my wife back there saying in the background? Hey, time out. Time out, guys, on Facebook here. What did you say? Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. My wife said personal experience for me, so. Listen. You know, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Happy is the person, the man or woman, who trusts in the Lord. Hey, listen, we trust one another. We love one another. We bless one another. But he's right. What I give you, you won't thirst. And he said, listen to this. He said, it's going to be in you. So that tells me that walking in this life, living this life, and truly being totally satisfied and not thirsting and not having things where I feel incomplete in my life, in my career, in my ministry, as a person. No, I'm complete. We're complete in him. You know, we were singing, I'll find everything that I need in you. Well, it's in him and it's him in you. And that's what we've been talking about. Oh, glory to God. Oh, isn't it wonderful? You know, I think about the disciples. I mean, they were confused. I'm talking about before he appeared to them that evening. They were confused. They were not happy. They were sad. And yet he shows up, breathes on them and says, receives the Holy Ghost. And he said, go and wait for the promise. And they leave there. The Bible says they were in great joy. They had great joy. Not just joy, but great joy. They were praising and worshiping, magnifying God. You know why? Because something came to live on the inside of them. The third person of the Godhead. Here's my point. So many people are looking to be satisfied in all the things and all the trappings out there that'll make them happy. And yet, the one on the inside of you will cause you to have great joy. The only thing that changed in with those disciples after he met with them is he breathed on them. Now, they have great joy. Now, not just joy, they have great joy. Do you have great joy? Do you thirst? Oh, you can drink from him. And you can drink from the well that's on the inside of you. Hallelujah. I got to keep moving. Praise the Lord. We talked about the book of Acts. We went through the book of Acts and we looked at the different experiences where people are not only born again, but they were filled with the Holy Ghost. a subsequent experience after the new birth. Aren't you glad? We talked about the fruit of the Spirit. The 9 fruit of the Spirit has to do with that well that's on the inside of you. The 9 gifts of the Spirit, they're 9 each. The 9 manifestations are gifts of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. That's the river that flows out of you and me. We talked about that. We also talked about there are many renewals in a believer's life because of the one who lives on the inside of you. There should be constant renewals and refreshings from the Holy Ghost within a person. I'm talking about even after born again and Spirit-filled. Even if you get Spirit-filled, that's not the end of it. You know, the Bible tells us that the outward man perisheth, but the inward man, what part of the man? The inward man is renewed day by day. Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus that the Holy Ghost would strengthen their inner man. Now listen, we know that the Holy Spirit can quicken our mortal bodies, Romans 8:11, but the Spirit of God ministers to you on the inside. Because see, that's what you're going to live out of. That's why Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23 says you're to guard your heart, your inner man, with all diligence. For out of your heart, out of your inner man, flow the issues or the forces of life. The spirit of a man can sustain his infirmity. That tells me that the spirit side is greater than the natural side. Yet most of this world spends 90% on their physical side. I'm talking about money, time, focus. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, absolutely, there's nothing wrong with it. The Bible tells us that bodily exercise profiteth a little. Didn't say it didn't profit at all. It does profit. And the Bible tells us we're to present our bodies. Romans chapter 12. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I keep under my body. I bring it into subjection. But godliness is profitable for the life that now is and that which is to come. Hallelujah. Focusing on the inward man, the spirit within you. Hallelujah. Now, we talked about this. We also talked about last week. I'm going to have to fast forward. Glory to God. Last week, we talked a lot about how we need to pay attention to the unction. Because the Bible tells us, it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them. There's different things we spoke about that. A lot of times people are just going by what their eyes see and what their ears hear. But see, there's something deeper. There's something, there's more to life than just what you look at and what you hear and what you see. That's why Jesus told this woman, he said, you drink that water, you'll continue to thirst. What I give you will cause you to never thirst, and it's going to be in you. He's talking about the Spirit of God. He's talking about the Holy Ghost. See, a communion and fellowship with the Spirit of God, the third person of the Godhead, that's where it's at. See, most people read the scripture we looked at in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and they just quote, well, you know, eye has not seen nor ear heard. Keep reading. But God has revealed them what? Those things that eye has not seen nor ear heard. He's revealed them to us by His Spirit. And He goes on to say that the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. You know, the Proverbs tells us that counsel in the heart of man is as deep waters. And a man of understanding will draw it out. People go and listen. There's nothing wrong, like I said, we talked about this with agreement and praying together. If any two of you shall agree. But a lot of times people just, they won't acknowledge the Lord. They won't look inwardly. They just go to people first. For counsel. But But the Bible says counsel is in your spirit, in your heart, because that's where God lives. But it's like deep water. People just go by what they see on the surface, what they're looking at, what their senses are feeding them, what somebody told them, the report they got, whatever. But see, the Spirit of God searches all things, knows all things, even the deep things of God. He knows what the future holds. He knows what's ahead. People don't. Unless the Spirit of God manifests himself through them with a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. But see, the Holy Ghost is on the inside of us. And there's things we can know that's been freely given to us of God. But it's a relationship and a fellowship with the third person of the Godhead on the inside of us. And we must be conscious and aware. We talked about last week how that John wrote and said, there are many antichrists already in the world. We know that there will be an antichrist. But there are many. The spirit of antichrist is in this world now. He said, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know. He went on to say, the anointing that abides in you, it will teach you. Jesus talked about him, said, when he, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. Oh, glory. Glory to God. He will guide you. He will lead you. Now, we talked about that. Y'all ready? I've taken about 25 minutes here so let's shift forward to where I want to get to. We go back and say some of these things because just hearing it one or two times is not enough, folks. And the thing about it is a lot of people won't go back and listen to the teaching again. That's not a put down. Please don't take it wrong. I don't mean that. I don't mean that to come across that way, but listen, I understand. We have life. We got a lot of things going on, and we love the Word of God, and we sit, and hey, you've taken the time, and you take the time to sit and listen to the Word. But sometimes we get going, and we move on. But see, we need to hear these things over and over. You know, I mentioned Peter a while ago. He said, listen, as long as I'm in this earth suit, this tabernacle, I will not be negligent as a minister. I'm going to put you in remembrance, even if you know it. Why? Because it stirs it up. Paul said this. He said the same thing in Philippians chapter 3. He said it this way. He said, for me to speak the same things to you. Well, I wish he'd minister something different. We've been on this spirit within and spirit upon for weeks now. I wish he'd get to another subject. Paul said, for me to speak the same things to you. It's not grievous to me, but it is safe for you. I forget who it was. Is it one of the old timers made a reference and statement? He said, if a man has not preached a sermon a minimum of 50 times, I'm talking about the same sermon, he's never really got to where he's preached it. I forget who quoted that or said that, but he was an old timer. You know, there's some truth. I mean, when I heard that, it sort of bears witness. You think we've got all the revelation and the nutrition out of John 3:16, spiritually speaking? How many times you heard that scripture in your lifetime? Probably more than once or twice. But there's a lot more in it that we can get and the Lord can minister to us. That's just an example. Hallelujah. You ready? Glory to God. I want you to go with me to 2 Timothy. Let's look at something else. Let's look at another element of this morning. This is going to be a little bit different. But we're not leaving our subject. We're still talking about the Spirit of God within. We're still talking about the Holy Ghost and His ministry in your life. And I believe this will be a blessing to us. You believing with me? Praise the Lord. Here we go. 2 Timothy chapter 1, let's look at this. Verse 5. Paul writing to Timothy here, he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is where? In thee. The gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. So, through the laying on of hands, Paul laid hands on Timothy, and the gift of God was given to him, or a gift of God was given him. Now, just hang with me. He says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his, or of me as prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Now we're talking about purposes. God's purpose in our life. You know, God had a purpose for Timothy. God has a purpose for you, because we're all included in this scripture. Remember, he didn't say who has saved you, Timothy. He said who has saved us and called us. So this is talking to us too, not just Timothy. But according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Do you know you have a purpose from heaven that was given you before the world began? Let me say something to you. You are a spirit being. Now, I'm not going to build a doctrine on this, and people may disagree with me on this, but let me just say this to you. Your spirit wasn't created, I don't believe, at the time when you were conceived in your mother's womb. Spirits are eternal. Could it be that you came down from heaven? Could it be that God had a purpose for you before the world began? But yet, he has a purpose here. You had to become a man or a woman. You took upon flesh and blood, but there's a purpose that you have. Is there a course? Is there a course that is set before us? Paul said, I finished my course. So evidently there's a course, there's a layout, there's a purpose. Now here's where we're going with this morning. This is, you know, we were sort of reviewing some things earlier, but here's where we're headed today. I want to talk about the Holy Ghost and about purpose in your life. Let's keep going. Verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto, now listen, look at this. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. He wasn't always an apostle. He wasn't an apostle first. Now, I'm saying this now because we're fixing to go back and look at something. It has to do with the Holy Ghost. And it's the same thing that he's ministering things to Timothy. Here, when he writes to Timothy, he says, I'm appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Well, everybody is a preacher per sense that they can proclaim or tell the good news. Some people are fivefold ministry teachers. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Okay, that's the fivefold ministry gifts that we talk about. But Paul did not start out as an apostle. We'll get there in just a minute. Just hang with me. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You know, you can trust God with your life. You can trust God with your calling. What he's purposed for you. What he's prepared for you. You know, we've made reference. I'm going to go back and connect to last week again. Because this Holy Ghost stuff is a big deal. See, eye has not seen nor ear heard. It's not even entered into the heart of man. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, it's not even in a man's heart to direct his way. It's not even in you of your own self that you can direct your life. So the Bible tells us there is a way that seems right to a man. Proverbs 14:12. But the end of that way is death. There's no fruit in that. It's unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You can build a house in your life. You can build your life. You can do what you want to do. You can fulfill what you feel like is your calling and purpose. But is you got to make sure it's the Lord building it. It's what His purpose is. Otherwise, you'll labor. And listen, you can do things and you can do good things for people. But it's not what He called you to do. I remember in the first vision, I think it was when the Lord appeared to Brother Hagin. He talked to him about his ministry and his calling, and he said this. I was listening to it recently. It was some weeks back I was listening to it, and it sort of just resonated. You know, when you hear these things again, I've heard him say this before, but it had been so long since I'd heard this actual teaching. But it stirs things up in you. Why? Because something was put in my remembrance. He said, as far as he's talking about ministers and ministries, pastors, people in the fivefold ministry, he said, and the Lord told him this. He said, most of ministers live their life out and they never enter into the first phase of the ministry that I've called them to. Matter of fact, he had pastored 12 years and done some other things, and finally he stepped over some things the Lord told him, and he said, "You're just now entering into the first phase of your ministry." He's like, "Lord, I've been doing this for years." Now listen, he didn't beat him up. Didn't bruise him up, spiritually speaking. You know, God has called us with a holy calling. And not all of us are called into the fivefold ministry. We have other callings and giftings that we're to be in, the place we're to be at. It's the things that God has prepared for us. But it's not just on the surface. It's like I said a while ago, counsel in the heart of man is like deep waters. You have to, but a man of understanding will draw it out. And you'll draw it out by prayer. Especially praying in the Spirit. We're going to get there just shortly. Okay? Hallelujah. He said this, verse 13. "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Look at verse 14. You ready? "That good thing which was committed unto thee." You know he laid his hands on him up here, don't you? In verse 6, he talked about the gift of God that was in him by the putting on of his hands. Paul had laid hands on Timothy. And then he says this down in verse 14. He said, "That good thing which is committed unto thee, keep by your own effort." Keep by talking to other people. No. Keep by the Holy Ghost which dwells in us. So that tells me that not only the calling and gifting that God has called you to, not only are you called to it, not only can you be gifted or something can be imparted to you through the laying on of hands, but from that point forward, you're going to have a relationship and a communion with the Spirit of God on the inside of you to keep that thing intact and to walk it out and to finish your course and to see it completely through its completion in your life. Remember, Paul says, "I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished. I've finished the race. I've finished the course that God set before me. I finished it." Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look here at verse 14. 1 Timothy 4:14. Paul said, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery." Now we know here in the second epistle, it was Paul who put his hands on him. Paul's referring to himself. Paul laid his hands on Timothy. But notice something else. He said, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy." Prophecy is when something is spoken and inspired by the Holy Spirit. Notice that there can be impartation. There can be something that comes through words spoken, whether it's prayer, praying over someone, the spirit of prophecy comes over and you speak to them, You can lay hands on them, and yet there are giftings and callings that come to a person's life through that means. Not just laying on of hands, but through words. Now, let me say something to you. We're not to be led by prophecy. We're not to be led by prophets. We're not to be led by pastors. We're not to be led by teachers or apostles. We're to be led by the Spirit of God. Anything that any man or woman of God or Christian would speak to your life that they sensed the Holy Spirit had something for you or they would speak to you, it will always be a confirmation to you, especially in the area of calling or direction. Why? Because you have an anointing on the inside of you, 1 John 2:27. You don't have to have a man to teach, that were teachers to guide you, to be led by, you know, to be led by. You've got that anointing in you. It teaches you. It bears witness with you. Anything that someone would minister to you by the Spirit, you remember we talked about the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Your spirit is the part of you, that's the part of you that God is going to use to guide you, to show you things. In other words, your spirit knows things. What things knows are the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him. 1 Corinthians 2. We looked at this last week. Your spirit knows things. And when you listen to your spirit, the Holy Spirit is going to come to your spirit and say, yes, that's right. That don't seem good. That's not good. Nope. But it's your spirit. The Holy Spirit's just going to bear witness with your spirit. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. That's the part that God uses to guide you, enlighten you, is your spirit man. That's why when somebody speaks a word or prophesies, I'm on a little side journey here, a little side note. But if somebody says something to you, the Holy Ghost will bear witness with that in your spirit, either yes or no. And if you're unsure, put it on the shelf. Just put it on the shelf. Say, Lord, it's not that I want to doubt you or doubt. I believe in prophecy. I believe in words of given by the Spirit of God. But I'm just not quite sure about that. But I trust you to confirm that and show me and bear witness in me if that's true. See, he's the Spirit of truth. He'll guide you in all truth. Where he's going to guide you, he's going to do it to you in your spirit. You're going to know in here. Not your head, not your mind, your spirit. See, things are imparted to us by the Holy Ghost. That's where we get direction from to start with. The number one way you're going to be guided and led in life is just by the Holy Spirit bearing witness with your spirit. Not only that you're a child of God, about what you need to do. What's ahead in your life? As you pray these things out, as you acknowledge him in all of your ways. I'm not going to get to it today. One of the things is praying in other tongues, praying in the Spirit. The things that we know we need to pray about, but we just don't know how to pray about it as we ought. The Spirit himself takes hold to give us with these things. You know, the scripture says, and we know that all things work together for good. Them that love God and called according to his purpose. Don't take that scripture out of its context. It's connected to the person who's praying in tongues. Or praying with groanings which cannot be uttered. It's Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28. But people just believe that all things work together no matter what. Listen, you got to have the Holy Ghost helping you and guiding you. You got to be paying attention to the one who dwells on the inside of you. You remember we started this thing. Jesus said, listen, sweetie. You just live the natural life and you depend on the natural stuff. You're going to thirst again. Are y'all listening to me? Thank God for the natural things he gives us. Now listen, we're not belittling that. But I'm telling you, in this life, in this walk, it's going to take a relationship with the one who lives on the inside of you. He's the one that's in you. He's the one that will help you where you won't thirst no more. You'll be satisfied. you'll be in the right place. You'll be where God has called you. You'll be where you'll be in the place that He's purposed for you before the world began. He'll put you in places that eye has not seen nor ear heard. And sometimes it's not even entered into your thought realm. I refer to the reference where Joe Morris stood up in a service and prophesied to Dana and I years ago in 1997. And he said, you're going to be in some places in your future. It's not even entered your thought realm yet. You've not even had one thought about it. I was in ministry. I was part of a staff. He's saying, you ain't even thought about this stuff yet. He said, you're going to be on a completely different pathway than what you're on right now. Not even the same pathway. You're going to have to acknowledge the one on the inside of you. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Now, let's finish this up right quick. Paul, writing to a young minister, talked about the gift on the inside of him, how he needs to stir it up, how that even that was imparted to him, it'll be kept intact, and it'll be kept in place by the Holy Ghost that dwells on the inside of him. Let me refer to what I mentioned, that Paul didn't start out as an apostle. Go back to the book of Acts, chapter 13. We know in Acts chapter 9, Paul was arrested by Jesus on the road to Damascus. We get into Acts chapter 10 and 11, and it has to do with Peter and Cornelius. And you get into chapter 12, you're still dealing with Peter. You remember he was in prison. Angels went in there and smote him and said, get up, get out of here. They were praying back at the house. And then they were sort of surprised when he showed up. Then we pick up in verse 13, and now we pick Paul up again. Chapter 13. Now we start with Paul, and pretty much the rest of the book of Acts has to do with Paul. Okay? You see him in chapter 9. You see Peter in 10, 11, and 12. And then we pick up in 13, and the rest of it's Paul. But let's notice here. Verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Do you see the word apostle here? You don't see that, do you? You see certain prophets and teachers. There's five men here. Starts with Barnabas and then ends with Saul. And I'm not too good on some of these names in the Bible. So that's why it starts with Barnabas and ends with Saul. But there's five men. Look here in verse 2. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work. For the work. For the work whereunto I've called them. So we see here there's a calling. Has to do with calling. Has to do with your work in life. Notice how it came about. It was by people praying, separating themselves, fasting. Fasting does not make God do anything or move God. It has something to do with you. It helps you to become more sensitive. It helps you to put away and separate from things that could be a distraction to you. And it puts you in a position where you can hear. And the Holy Ghost can speak. And you can recognize. But we have five men here in a room. And they have separated themselves. And they're ministering to the Lord. They're just worshiping, praising God. And they're praying. And they've fasted and just separated themselves for this purpose. And through that, the Holy Ghost spoke up. And said, separate me. Barnabas and Saul, unto the work that I have called them. And it says this, and when they had fasted and prayed, look at this, they laid their hands on them. So see, how when the Holy Ghost said, how did he say it? The Holy Ghost is a spirit. He said it through one of them. He spoke through one of those men. Words were spoken. They prayed. Then words were spoken. Then hands were laid on. Sounds sort of similar to what Paul did with Timothy, doesn't it? Prophecy is words that are spoken by the Holy Spirit, inspired at the moment. It's not something you try to learn or write down or remember. It's something that just comes by inspiration of the Spirit of God. It's inspired utterance in a known tongue. That's what prophecy is. And yet, Paul told a young minister, he said, stir up the gift of God that was given to you by prophecy and the laying on of hands. We see the word spoken here by inspiration of the Holy Ghost and the laying on of hands. Now, you go to the next chapter, chapter 14, verse 8, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet, and he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Laconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius, or however you pronounce that, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priests of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Saul, and when the apostles Barnabas and Saul, did you get that? And when the apostles, Barnabas and Saul. Acts chapter 13, there were certain prophets and teachers. But now, the scripture refers to them and the Holy Ghost refers to them as apostles. Because the Holy Ghost sent them forth. The apostle means a sent one. When did that take place? When did that calling, when did that gifting come? It came when they were ministering to the Lord and fasted, and they prayed and words were spoken over them and they laid hands on them. And they were sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Now, you couple that with other scriptures, that which is gifted and that which is imparted to you, I'm talking about your calling, the work that God has called you to, you're going to have to keep it. In other words, it's not just going to automatically be fulfilled in your life. You're not just going to automatically finish your course and do everything apart from a relationship with the Spirit of God within you and acknowledging Him. See, things will be kept, even your calling and your purpose in life, by the relationship and listening and following the one that lives on the inside of you. And I'm not talking about just fivefold ministry stuff here. I'm talking about whatever God has called you to, the work He's called you to. It's just as important as a fivefold ministry. But I can tell you, prayer's involved. And next week, we'll probably close this out on how prayer and yielding to the Spirit of God and praying in the Holy Ghost is a major player to not only walking and fulfilling the purpose, the plan that God has for your life, walking in that purpose, walking in that plan, fulfilling that, finishing your course, keeping yourself in that place, not being distracted, not being pulled off. The Holy Ghost is our helper. He's our counselor. He's our intercessor. He's our advocate. I'm telling you, praise God, there's things that can come against you in your life to try to deter, to keep the plan and purpose of God from happening in your life, even when it comes to divine healing. That's God's plan and purpose and will for your life. It's healing. I mean, I'm just using one area. There's many. I mean, we're talking about calling, giftings, the work that God's called you to. And yet, in the spirit realm, Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that there's schemes and plots that the enemy can bring to your life to keep you from walking in that being fulfilled in your life. But aren't you glad we have an advocate? He'll speak through you. He'll give you utterance. And he'll plead your case like a lawyer in the courts of heaven and in the spirit realm, in the heavenlies, in your behalf. You're speaking words just like that. I referred to that man who was saying, God opens doors that no man can shut. That's what he was saying out of his mouth, because God had opened up a door. They'd come and preached the gospel to him. And he passed from death unto life that day. And yet he was speaking the wonderful works of God out of his mouth. And they could understand it, but he was magnifying God for what he had done in his life at that moment. You've got something on the inside of you that's not only an intercessor, he's an advocate. The same chapter in Ephesians 6, it talks about the armor of God and all the principalities and powers. It goes on to say this. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. There's things that you pray about, even not just for yourself, but others. I'll close with this. And the Holy Ghost brought it to me, Dan, and we was at a wedding Thursday evening. I did a wedding, and we ran into someone we hadn't seen in years, and we got to talking about some things, and the conversation came up. And after I got baptized with the Holy Ghost, I began to pray. Thank God for being able to pray in the Spirit. Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And I've been praying in the Spirit. And the Holy Ghost brought this to me. My grandmother on my mother's side was a Holy Ghost woman. She was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And back then, it wasn't looked upon too fondly. The family loved her. She was quarantined because she had tuberculosis. And, of course, they quarantined her. My mother was 2 years old at the time, I think. Of course, my grandmother passed away. And my mother was her only child. So I never knew my grandmother. My mother never really knew her. She don't remember. She was 2 years old. But they quarantined her in a little shack. And they talked about what a wonderful woman was, but here's what they would say about her. She's a wonderful woman, wonderful lady, but she speaks in those tongues. That's what they said about her. She speaks in those tongues. Because a lot of times people are unlearned. You remember Paul said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning spiritual gifts. The truth is a lot of people are ignorant. Ignorant just means they're not been taught. Because people don't really teach about it. People stay away from it. And you have all different kinds of opinions. But anyway, my grandmother was filled with the Spirit, and she spoke and prayed in other tongues. She prayed in the Spirit. They could hear her. That was the testimony. I've got aunts, great aunts on my mother's side who told me this. And the Lord spoke to me. Now, this is years later. This was in the mid-80s. I'm praying in the Spirit one day, and I knew there was a calling of God on my life, and I was talking to God about it, about that which he had prepared for me, which I had not seen nor ear heard. And just like Joe said, there's some things that have not even entered into your thought realm yet. But God has prepared these things for you. But see, God has given you the Spirit so that you can know these things, so that you can pray out these things, so that you can draw from the counsel within, like deep waters, but a man of understanding will draw it out, praying in other tongues. See, Paul prayed in tongues more than anybody did. He said that about himself. He wasn't lying. And a lot of his revelation and understanding and insight that he wrote and penned in these epistles come through that means. We'll talk about that next week. But anyway, I'm praying, and the Holy Ghost said, a major part or part of where you are today and where you'll go today is because your grandmother prayed for you. I went, what? He said, a part, not all, but a part of where you are today and where you will be in your life and ministry is because your grandmother prayed for you. I said, what are you talking about, Lord? I knew it wasn't the devil talking to me. But I didn't understand this. But I was praying in tongues and all this interpret. It came up in me. It's knowing. He said, she knew that she was leaving. And he gave me scripture. What things knows a man save the spirit of man which is in him? She knew in her own heart that she was going to be with me. He said she knew she was coming. But she's got a 2-year-old. She said she wasn't just praying for herself back then. She knew she was leaving. She knew she was coming to heaven. And she had a child. And she was praying for that child. When they heard her praying in tongues in that shack, she wasn't just praying for herself. She was talking to me. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:2, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. He said, she was talking to me about her. He said, but you came from her. And this promise is to your children and your children's children. And not only was she praying for her child, but in the spirit, out of not to her understanding, my spirit within her was not only helping me pray for your mother, but it was praying for you as also, and the plans and purposes of God that I have for you. Because I need someone to speak. I need someone to speak things. Now, my grandmother wasn't able to lay hands on me, but we know this, when words are inspired by the Spirit, Paul told Timothy, he said, the gift that you have in you right now, it was in your grandmother, your mother, it's in you, and you're walking in that thing, this calling that you're walking in was through prophecy, words that were spoken by the Holy Spirit, and hands were laid on you. What am I saying? This Holy Ghost stuff is a big, big deal. It has everything to do with everything. It quenches the thirst in your life. It causes you to partake of love and joy and peace. All the fruit that's in your life that benefits you. Now, you allowing love and peace and joy and patience and all that to be in your life. Yes, first and foremost, that benefits you more than anybody else. Now, it can be a witness to people that see that in your life. But listen, when you're in love and joy and peace, and there's just self-control, all these things, faith, meekness, are operating in your life, that benefits you. There are things that benefit others. When you're being led by love, we talked about this. Also, in these last days, having the one living in you, bearing witness with you, teaching you, guiding you, what's God and what's not God. You don't follow the voice of a stranger. There are many voices out there right now. And there's a bunch of people who want to make sure they get their voice heard. But you better listen on the inside of you. And now, what God has for you going forward, even if you feel like you don't know if you're where you're supposed to be, hey, you're in a good spot because thank God you got the Holy Ghost and you can acknowledge Him and He'll show you. He'll help you. We're not seeking a vision. We're not seeking a word per se, but God will have these things come into our life. And the Spirit wills these things for our lives. And He'll move upon men and women by the Holy Ghost. And things will be said and prayed. And things will be ministered to you to confirm and impart and help. Because He's the helper. And then He'll live big within you. And you'll pray out things and yield to Him. It will reward your life richly. You'll find yourself exactly like Paul and Barnabas. You may start out here and this is God, and really, and this is where God had him. But you know, there was something else. Just because you start out a certain way doesn't mean that's it for the rest of your life. Now, some people may get into something and that's what God has for them for all their life. But I'm telling you, sometimes there's different steps. The steps, plural, of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. There's different phases in your life. You may be in a phase, but you know what? God has another phase for you in your life. How's that going to come out? It's going to be kept by the Holy Ghost. It's going to come what he's committed, what Paul committed to him. He committed these things to God. He prayed in tongues. He spoke in tongues more than anybody did. And yet, we see from one chapter to the next, which is probably a year or so time, he's already left this phase from being a prophet and a teacher, and now he's an apostle. Those are different callings, and there's different giftings and graces for those offices. And yet we got scripture that he's in one place at one time, and a year or so later he's in another place. How'd it come? By the ministry of the Holy Ghost, the one on the inside of us, and how people yield to that. Is it important? Does it matter? Is it for us? Yes. And when we speak about these things, just the simple truth of us putting this out front and bringing this forth like today, there's power in the Word of God. It's an incorruptible seed. It goes into your heart and it's designed to minister to you, to bring things to your remembrance, to bring light to you so you can see the very plan and purposes that he has for us. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.